do bands, we do DJs, we do national acts, we do speed painters, character artists. We do the craziest things. If you think it, we've got it. And if we don't have it, we'll find it. We will not disappoint. That is our promise and commitment to everyone.
And have a freezing day.
Hi, this is Michael Dervish, VP of Breezin' Entertainment and Productions. Thank you for joining us on Breezin' Chats. Today I have a co-host, Cindy Dervish, joining me, and we're going to be interviewing Jesse Saplinski with Breezin' Entertainment. We're going to be discussing how Jesse fell into the entertainment world. We'll chat about Breezin' Entertainment's new wedding division, Breezin' Weddings, and also Jesse's going to give us some expert advice about weddings and insights of trends she sees coming in 2019. Jesse is the director of events for Breezin' Entertainment and Productions. She's born and raised in Tampa, Florida. Jesse attended University of South Florida, Go Bulls, graduating with a bachelor's degree in mass communications. She's a member of NACE, Marry Me Tampa Bay, and many more organizations in the Tampa Bay community. She has helped over 300 brides throughout her career create memorable experience on their wedding days and has been a lead coordinator on over 80 weddings throughout her career. Welcome, Jesse, and thank you for joining us. We are so happy to have you on Breezin' Chats.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for saying my name right. People pronounce my name wrong all the time.
You know I can't get my superstar's name wrong.
It's a good thing I didn't step in and pronounce her name. She would be Wilcox all over again.
Well, Jesse, we're so happy to have you. You've been with us for a while here. Me and Cindy are greatly appreciative of you.
Almost 10 years. I think that a little more than a while. Yeah, a decade.
It has. It's been
a decade.
So crazy to think an entire decade.
Or was it September?
It was March. Yeah. March of 2009.
Yeah. Best thing that ever happened to me.
I was 24.
One of the best things.
I was Gina's age. I was 24 years old when I started.
Yeah, that's crazy. And we've come a long way seeing you grown as a person through Breezin'. And I kind of just want to get started and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and who the wonderful Jesse Saplinski is.
And she is wonderful.
Well, I, like Michael said, born and raised in Tampa, Florida. Went to the same high school my mom went to, Tampa Catholic, and then went to University of South Florida, so I didn't go very far. I always thought I was going to transfer and go to, like, UCF or Florida State, and then I joined a sorority, like, right after my first semester and just kind of found my place at USF and decided to stay close to home. And then went to USF for 4 years and graduated and was one of those, like, graduates. I was so lost, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, still needed to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And, so I just kind of always worked through college and started working right away, but didn't know where my passion lied and didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And, I was in retail in college, so I decided just to continue that route. My dad was in retail his whole life. He was a district manager for Dillard's for a really long time. So I thought maybe I would follow his footsteps and kind of stay in retail. And then I learned real quickly that it was not anything I was passionate about. I didn't enjoy it. I hated working all these holidays. And it was just, it got old real fast. And I knew I needed to find something else.
Yeah, retail's tough. You have to have a certain customer come in and really, really want something. So it's really tough to sell them on what they envision. But, I know you kind of touched on this. You graduated from college. And you kind of had a perspective of what you wanted to do. Was that kind of your dream job that you thought when you graduated that you wanted to be in retail?
I actually went to school for television broadcasting, so I thought I was going to be like a news anchor. And then I interned 2 semesters at Bay News 9 and realized really fast that that was not what I wanted to do. Only honestly because I had this dream, like, you graduate from college with, your degree in broadcast journalism, and then you get this job in Tampa or, a big city market. And it was a big eye-opening experience in the internship to learn. You have to start in, like, this podunk town where nobody knows you and you're making nothing. And there's maybe a population of 20 people. And I just couldn't see myself, doing that and living in, you know, some no-name town. And to get started, I just, it was just not, that's not what I had envisioned for myself. And I decided real quickly to take a different route.
However, I don't even know if you were around for any of Jesse's debuts on the morning show or the morning TV.
The morning blend. Yeah, the morning blend.
She's been on several times and asked back for the holidays, and she's very creative and very
I get to do a little bit of TV here and there.
Yes.
I like doing it when I can.
So the mass communications wasn't all just
for
nothing.
Well, my mom goes, well, finally your degree is going to something, all these TV little gigs you've got, and it's more for fun and it's free advertising for Breezin. So it's, you know, I get to do a little bit of what I felt comfortable with in school, which is being in front of the camera, but
and it really did help. She they gave us the opportunity for her to be on and show what we do as creating events.
Uh-huh.
And so we were, in return, were able to do some advertising with them.
Very cool.
Yeah,
very
it was
cool.
Kind of neat.
It was very cool.
Yeah, so you went to USF, graduated, kind of got into the retail sales gig. And then tell me, how did you get involved with Breezin? How did you become a Breezin girl, as I know you guys used to be called before I came along?
Right, now it's the Breezin gang, I guess.
Breezin team, I don't know.
PC around here, now we have a boy in the office.
Oh my God, so take me back 10 years ago.
10 years ago, oh my gosh. It almost feels like it was yesterday, honestly. I could tell you exactly. I can even remember what I was wearing that day.
I can even remember the day.
It was my day off. It was like a random weekday, and I was getting my hair done. And my hairdresser was just talking about how work was going, and I had just had it. Like, I was done. I was so over doing retail. And she's like, well, what do you want to do? Like, what, you know, you went to school for this. You know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do retail. Like, what do you want to do? I'm like,
Everyone opens up to their hairdressers.
Right? I mean, they're barbers. Like a therapist, right? I should pay her more. Actually, no.
And we had the same hairdresser.
Yeah, at the time we did. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know. You know, I used to plan events. I was the events coordinator for my sorority, and I was involved in Panhellenic in college. And I used to plan. My dad, I've already told you this, but my dad used to have all the managers in the district come and do a holiday party at our house. And my mom would pay me like a minimal amount of money to put all the platters together, to put all the decor together. And this is when I was like, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, and I would do this for my dad.
Natural, Michael.
And put together, like, you know, hostess gifts and gifts for all the guests to take home. And, you know, and I used to love to do that and hand make all the invitations to all the, you know, it was before we had all the internet. We could just order things like
technology.
La Vista Print. But I used to hand make all the invitations. And, but besides that, just being super involved in my sorority and doing events for them, I was like, I don't know, it was just something in events. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know where to begin, how to get into that industry. I didn't know anybody that worked in the event world. And she's like, oh, have you met Cindy Dervish? I'm like, no, I've not, you know, have you heard of Breezin? Like, no, I haven't heard of them. And she's like, well, look them up. Like, if you need to get involved in events, that's the woman you need to talk to. She's like the queen of events in Tampa. She's got this amazing company. So I was like, oh, okay. So I went home, and the website was very confusing back then. I didn't even know what
horrible.
Was right. It was horrible.
Did they even have one?
I honestly really couldn't tell what they did, but I saw like music and bands and DJs, so I at least got that much out of it. And
it
I was
got
like,
me by for a long time.
Right? So I was like, okay, well, they can seem like they got it going on, you know? So I ran home, I printed out my resume, I, you know, put on like a nice outfit, and I drove over here. And there was somebody sitting at the front desk who looked important.
Was that Mo?
I think it was Mo.
She kind of looked
important, you know, and it was just like, hi, I'm Jessie, and I don't even know if you have a position open, but here's my resume, and you should really hire me. And she was like, I'm not Cindy. And I was like, oh, okay. Is she here?
I wasn't here.
She wasn't here. And I said, well, you can just tell her, you know, I came by. We have the same hairdresser, you know. I'm looking for a job, and I just love to just speak with her. And in my mind, I didn't even know if there would be a job here open, but I just thought maybe she could help have some insight or open some doors for me and at least kind of get an idea of where I could start. And then,
so with that little pause, I was out on sales calls or meeting with a client, and I came back, and the girl stood up and they said, here is a resume. You will hire her. You have interviewed enough people. You need to make a decision. I said, fine. Called her up,
And I you're like, can you come tonight?
And
I
can. I was like, said no,
right?
Because you were working.
Yeah, I was working. Yeah.
I said, well, where are you working? And you said at Jessica
McClinta.
And I said, okay. I said, well, can you come, you know, tomorrow? And then we set up an appointment. So I called Stevie D up. I said, Stevie, meet me at the International Mall. He goes, where are we going? I said, the girls tell me I have to hire this woman this young lady, and Stevie and I went to the mall.
They were stalking me.
Did a
little secret shopping. Here was Jesse, my height, flat shoes. And Stevie goes, she's wearing flat shoes. And I said, she's in retail. She's And so we went in and we scoped her out first. Can I help you? And then I introduced myself.
Did you know at the time before she introduced herself who she was?
I mean, we didn't have like...
social media, Facebook was just starting.
We had Facebook. Yeah. I mean, 10 years ago, really, we didn't have anything like that. So I had no idea what she looked like. I thought Mo was Cindy Dervish.
So
like,
this random customer comes up to you, starts talking to you, and kind of picking your brain.
But then I like hugged her, and like, I'll see you tomorrow. Like,
that's where it went. And then we just talked. I said, well, do you want to come in tomorrow? Or I might have even hired her right there. I used to do that a lot. I used to have a gut feeling.
You told her boss that she quits?
No, she was the only one.
That was the easiest, like, I quit
put
in my life.
But I don't know. Did I hire you on the spot right there?
I came in and actually interviewed after work. And then the next day, I came in and interviewed. And that you hired me on the spot then.
Yeah.
And you're like, when can you put in your notice? Well, you don't work tomorrow. You can come in tomorrow.
And she said, fine.
I was like, okay. So and then the days that I worked, I had late shift. I was working 1 to 9. I would come in here from 8 to, 12:30 and at least try to start getting my feet wet. And a girl was getting ready to leave. Teresa was here.
Yeah.
And she was doing the events. And then Kiera was your sales assistant. So she was getting promoted as your events person. And I started in the hot seat, I call it, right next to her in the office.
And the hot seat, I can say, is still there.
It is still there. Everyone learns here.
And you know what? It is something that Cindy really prides herself on, is the hot seat.
I mean, I don't like the name.
Every employee, every intern, every...
Even Michael.
Even every entertainer that comes in here, they have to sit next to Cindy for at least a day to see the madness that she goes through, to see her process, which sometimes isn't the conventional process, but somehow, some way, 30 years later, she's still getting it done. And
there's a reason that the business has been around for as long as it has and has been so successful. So there's something to learn in that hot seat. And it's true, like the osmosis, like you start hearing yourself answer questions the same way or remembering to ask them open-ended questions to open up the sale even more. Things that like you just can't really teach somebody. You just kind of have to like learn by example and being in that room.
That natural sales instinct.
Yeah, it's just that instinct, but you learn so much. Yeah. I mean, we do call it the hot seat because everybody sits there, but...
whether they like it or not.
Yeah, but that's how I started. I was her assistant. I'm like, I don't even know what this means. I don't know how to spell a DJ. I don't know.
It was very different, too, because
everything was a hard file and every email was printed out.
Were we still doing DOS on the computer? Or when you started, like, did we have the access in place?
Access was in place,
yeah. Because when we first started, we had... like
we had no follow-up system though. So my follow-up system was a drawer and it said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And in that drawer, because each client that was an inquiry got their own file and that we started inquiry. Everything was handwritten on a piece of paper and all of our notes. And if you had to pick up one of her files, you couldn't read anything. And you didn't know where.
You can't read my handwriting.
And so
I should have been a doctor.
Right. And so it was, depending on the day we needed to follow up with them that following week, we just like moved it to the next day. And like,
It worked.
It was the most inefficient way of doing things, but we made it work. But we had no like CRM because at the time we hadn't built CRM in the Access, which we ended up eventually doing, but we didn't even have that. We didn't have the system in place how we even detailed the events. Like we just did it
on paper.
We printed out the piece of paper with all the events for the week and we wrote our notes. And yeah. just like made, hoped and prayed that we called all the right people, and everybody got the information and got to where they needed to go.
It was insane.
I mean, times have really changed in 10 years. I mean, just from this little 5-minute conversation I can tell.
Everything was on CDs too. We had thousands of CDs.
And then we went to tapes. No, they were tapes first.
And then we thought we were like so cool because we moved everything to CDs. We would have this whole hallway back here. Do you remember? It was just full
of CDs and numbered. Everybody had a number.
And then you could look at access to see the number and they find their CD.
Then we have to burn a CD to send it to a client.
We were so emailing. It was only 10 years ago, but I guess, you know, that's how much technology has changed in the last 10 years. I mean, the fact that Cindy had the flip phone when I, you know, started here.
She still has the flip phone.
My oldest son told me, you'll never learn how to use a phone. Oh, my God. Thank God for our phones.
That was 10 years ago. That's how it all.
But I do remember Jesse. I have to be around energy. You know that. Like if you got no energy, as long as someone has passion, the rest can be. I feel just comes naturally. If you have the passion and the desire, and I thrive on energy. So I have to have people around me like that. And when Jesse walked in, you know, I'm a hugger, and, you know, she gave me a hug, and, you know, we bonded very quickly.
You clicked quick. We clicked quick. You knew that she was a good fit for Breezin.
For sure. And I just enjoy her company. I consider her a friend, kind of like the daughter I don't have. And just love how you've blossomed into the. I can't even believe it's 10 years.
I know.
I'm thinking about that. I'm trying.
A decade is a long time, especially in this industry. I think you don't find a lot of people that not, you know, people that aren't the business owners stay in
long
in the company.
And I just really, I just knew that she and I, and when I hire people that I really care about. What's the one thing I always say? I want you to grow old with me. Well, we're doing it.
Yeah, I'm getting old. Now we're doing Botox together and everything else.
Washing the gray out.
Right.
Well, at least you won those Botox at the networking event.
Right. Yeah. I just found that in my drawer. I need to make that appointment. But Jesse's like the... she knows, like, if she doesn't tell me if I come in without mascara, these are grounds for being fired.
Yeah, she gets mad. Like, didn't tell me about mascara.
And I said, for God's sake, she says, you didn't tell me my gray was out. Because I can't see it.
But now I've learned. I got to tell her.
She's learned.
Yeah.
We're very honest.
And I know that, Cindy, she's dressed you for all and done your makeup for a lot of the networking events and big galas that we've gone to. So she's a very talented person.
In many, many, many ways. But she is... her passion has come through, and just so excited about what the future, you know, really in stores for us. And I'm sure you want to ask her a couple of those questions.
I know we just kind of talked about your background, previous job experiences. From the retail, from the sorority life and planning those events to planning your dad's parties. Talk about some of maybe the mentors or role models that have given you tools that you have now that that have impacted you.
Well, my mom was always like the party planner. Like she always hosted dinner parties and had people over and had the prettiest like platters and the, you know, even down to like the drink displays and really? Like everything. Like she just
didn't fall far from
the tree. She just always had the most beautiful like table arrangements. And things like that. So I think I got a lot of that kind of from my mom in the creativity of loving to entertain. And that goes hand in hand in the events world and being creative. My very first boss who hired me when I was 15, I lied on my resume because they weren't supposed to hire people until they were 16. But I wanted to get a car when I turned 16. So I lied.
Louis Vuitton. That's my,
And I learned a lot from her. She was tough on me, even though I was by far the youngest salesperson. And she expected a lot out of me, but she taught me a lot about work ethic and, you know, the importance of being dependable and how your actions or your
character.
Yeah, just, you know, how you can affect so many other people, like, you know, down to just calling in sick or things like that, how it just affects everybody. And I learned really early on just how bad I would feel if people were depending on me and I let them down. And she was probably one of the first people I let down that I called, you know, I was young, stupid, and called in sick, and I really kind of screwed some of the people in a very important time of the sales. And I,
during season.
Yeah, and I got, you know, reprimanded for that. It was the first time last time I ever felt like I don't ever want to disappoint somebody like that. That was a big learning lesson to, you know, really take pride and take responsibility of how important it is to show up when people are expecting you to show up.
I got to meet her last year, this woman that Jesse's talking about, because we did a road trip over to last January.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton for the after season.
Yeah, and she's the DM for Louis and Tampa.
And she was very disappointed when Jesse left her to move on to the next move. Did you go to the shop after that?
I worked for her all through high school, and then a couple of years in college, and then I wanted like internship experience, so I left to go work and then do some internships with different companies just to have that experience. So it was probably my junior year of college when I left working for her. Really, but I always maintained, you know, contact and a relationship with her, because she was my very first boss and first person to teach me a lot about just work ethic and having pride in your work and your job, whether you're a sales part-time salesperson or you're, you know, a manager of a store or you're an event director. You should always, it doesn't matter your position, you should take a lot of pride in that and just being a dependable worker and accountable. And it was just a lot of lessons I learned from her, because it was my very first time working for anybody.
Your first job, your first boss, you really don't know if they're telling you right or wrong until you experience it. And like you said, taking some of that time off during the busy holidays, you really saw that you were not only, you were letting your team down, you were letting your boss down, who really was counting on you. So it's cool to see that learning from that experience and what it brings today for you.
Yeah.
So I know we've talked about that you're very passionate on the wedding side of it. I mean, tell me what a day in the shoes of a wedding coordinator is. I mean, give me the good, the bad, the ugly. give us some insight of what a wedding coordinator is.
You know, it's still, I would say, fairly new to this. I don't want to say new. It's been like the last 7 or 8 years I've been doing this. But it's been the last, you know, year and a half really with Breeze and Weddings that I've been doing it more like a part-time job on top of the events. Mm-hmm. So what I love is that there's not a lot of jobs that I feel like that we can do in life where we can see the hard work that has been put in from start to finish and then see it play out and be executed and really get to experience that hard work you put in. You know, so many jobs where you might be a project manager and then you pass it on to the next person, but you never really saw like
it all fruition,
come to fruition, the whole thing come to play. So to the experience of like meeting that bride for the very first time and understanding her vision and what excites her and what she's looking forward to on that day, to going to a design meeting with the florist and looking at her, you know, Pinterest inspirations and stuff like that, and then putting all the right vendors in the place for them to make that happen, and then to be there that day. And like I always tell, I get chills even talking about it. It never gets old. My favorite moment of the wedding is when I send that bride down the aisle with her father. There's just something about that moment that's like the father giving her daughter away or giving his daughter away at their wedding. It's just, that's like the epitome of why everyone is there. And she's now going to join a new family, you know, and be a new family, a new start. And both families are both gaining, you know, a new son-in-law or daughter-in-law. So there's just something about that moment that I just love to take in every wedding. I don't care what it is. I fluff the dress, fix the veil on the train, and then send her down the aisle with him. And it's just
fly,
spread your wings, butterfly. It's just a cool moment. And there's just that satisfaction. And then I love it too when, you know, ceremony's over and you get to walk the bride into the reception room before everybody goes in, and they get to kind of have that first look of the room that they envisioned for a year of how it would look, and to see them like almost in tears. This is more than I could have ever imagined. This is exactly how I envisioned it. It's just such a cool experience from start to finish to see the whole thing play out and put all that, your creativity and the hard work, and then get to really enjoy what you work so hard for. And there's not a lot of jobs, I don't think, that in any industry that you can have that you get to see that and be on the creative side and the planning side and then actually be part of the entire day. So there's just something really cool about that experience. I mean, yeah, you have your things that happen and the crazy brides. And well, I honestly feel like I've been so lucky with our clients. And I just feel like the Breezin wedding brides that we've had so far have just been
amazing
and so grateful and just so happy. And so, you know, not a single negative comment or review from a single person that we've been able to work with, whether it was myself or one of our other lead coordinators. It's just been really awesome. And it's just, I don't know. We've just been really, really lucky. I'm not afraid either to, you know, fire a client. If I feel, and Cindy and I have had this conversation, if I feel like we get into starting the planning process and it's a bride that we feel like we're never going to meet their expectation.
Yeah.
Their expectations are just way too much more than what I'm just setting myself up for failure. And it's just better to part your ways, give them their deposit back, maybe give them a referral of another planner they might mesh better with. I haven't had to do that, but I have no problem saying this person is just not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, the brides, obviously, they come in and they want to connect with their wedding planner, and it's got to go both ways. Your wedding planner has to be able to connect with you as well, mm-hmm. because if you guys aren't envisioning the same thing and they're not able to put the envisionment of, if that's even a word.
It is now. We'll make it a word.
Yeah,
now.
We'll make it a word.
It's a word.
Yeah.
So if they can't envision and put that into real life of what you think, then, you know, it really is the time that, you know, you kind of just have to cut that tie, because right. they really, everyone needs to be pretty much hand in hand working
page.
Together and on the
yeah.
same page.
Well, and the other, I would say my biggest, I don't want to say gripe, but the biggest challenge I've had is when there's too many, when there's just too many chiefs involved. Mm-hmm. When you've got the mom who wants to have all the opinions. You've got the dad who says, I'm paying, I don't care what my daughter wants, it's my money. Or you've got the daughter who has such opinionated ideas, totally different what the parents want. And then you've got the groom's family, you know, and you've got all these people. You know, so there's been times where I've had powwows with the whole family and said, listen, there's going to be one person I want to report to, yeah. and that's going to be you. And then however else you guys want to communicate this information, it's up to you guys. But I can't be answering the same question three different ways because you don't like the answers I have for each one of you.
Yeah, and I know there's been times where you've met with the bride here and then the next day the dad comes running in and wants to change something up, and then you're polite, yeah. you work with them.
You fill in the middle.
You call up the bride, hey, your dad just came
yeah,
over
and
here.
And I don't want to cause any drama or throw anybody under the bus, so I try to be as diplomatic about it as possible. So as soon as I see that little trouble in paradise where that might happen, I call up an emergency family meeting and I set everybody down, and we just kind of like, this is how it's going to be. This is how we're going to communicate. And if this is not going to work, then this isn't going to work. Like, it has to be communicated that way.
Yeah, and I have to just tell you, you know, we have been very blessed the last 2 years. It's close to 2 years yeah. now, I think, that, you know, when Jessie had come to me and had said, you know, I watched her and I know this is her passion. So it was a very exciting thing for us to roll it out together because it's something she really wants to do. And I think our timing was extremely well. First of all, for her to be able to fill some more of her dreams and her joy and continue being able to have her responsibilities as the events director. But it's not by accident that Jessie's brides are wonderful and that we've had a wonderful experience. I think she's booked about 40 of them since we've rolled out the division of Breezin Weddings. It's those are the type of people that gravitate to Jessie. And she hasn't had to fire anybody. She hasn't had to say no to anybody. The only people she's had to say no to are people because she's been booked. So that's kind of cool when you get to that point where you're getting booked up and she sees her, you know, she always has two leads. She has a lead in herself on every wedding.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, kind of maybe your team, how many people you have working under you? And, I mean, obviously, you can't do every single wedding.
I know, I wish I could. and that's, you know, we were talking about going into 2019, our goals and what we want to do for this year. And obviously, I want to book enough where I can't be on every wedding, but I've trained the girls that have worked with me now to be amazing leads and to just be another Jessie on a wedding, and I trust them with everything.
Little Jessie bots.
And they have their own personalities, their own quirks, and the clients just love them too. But I've got, Bella, who, started with me over a year ago, just as my intern and helping me on weddings, and then I let her kind of be, a lead coordinator, but I was still there and kind of oversaw, but let her kind of take the reins and kind of run the show. Until this past year, just a couple months ago, she started doing, leads on her own weddings and having her own assistants. And then we have, our packages include a lead and assistant on every wedding. I just don't think it's a one-man show. There's just, you got to have two people. But our assistants are people that want to be wedding coordinators that just need that experience. And I want them to understand how we do things and how we treat our vendors and treat our clients. And so we've got a great bunch of interns that are just willing to work, to learn and get the experience. So all of them are the assistants. And then we're building our team of leads. I've got Bella, and then we have a training. I've got two more coming in to be leads because we are getting double and triple and quadruple booked for especially those popular dates that I don't want to turn the business down. And I've got these girls that know how I like things done and know the way I like to handle the weddings, and I trust them, and they're hardworking. They have tons of experience. So I'm excited to see it grow where I have
a team
of four and five lead coordinators and a bunch of assistants, and we can book, four or five weddings in one weekend. Yeah, I mean, that would
definitely
be doable. That's so cool for me.
Yeah, it's cool for me too, because it's one of my I want other people to do good and have good stuff, and it makes me so proud, and she's doing a wonderful job at it. You really are. And the reviews, all you have to do is go to her reviews.
Check us out. Check Breezin Weddings and Breezin Entertainment's reviews out on our Facebook and Instagram handles, guys.
It's kind of it's pretty amazing. I must say so myself. I'm seeing reviews, and I've been in the industry for 30 years Breezin, and then a couple of years here and there.
So do brides usually book a venue or a coordinator first? Is there like a process to go through?
Oh yeah,
that?
They definitely, because they don't even have a date yet until they book that venue. So the very first thing they do when they get engaged is book that venue. Because then that determines the date, and then that determines then, are you available? They can't book a coordinator if the coordinator doesn't know the date because they may not be available. The trend now with these venues, which is great for the wedding coordination
needed. It's needed.
Yeah, and it's so needed because I've seen it on both ends. But is the fact that these venues need wedding coordinators or requiring the brides to not bring in Aunt Sally, who's planned a party, as the wedding coordinator. They actually need a experienced professional wedding coordinator to in order for them to, have the wedding there. So which is great for the wedding coordination, the wedding planners out there, because it is so needed, and it's all the venues are kind of following that same trend. And it's because these venues are becoming like responsible for things that has nothing to do with the venue, and it's taking away from these venue coordinators to really focus on what's important within their venue and focus on where their florist bouquets are and who's going to pin the boutonnieres on the guys and the officiant's late, who's going to call him. Like, those shouldn't be the venue's responsibilities or the venue's at one location, but the bride is getting ready at a hotel, and the transportation isn't there yet. Nobody knows where the transportation is, and that's not the venue's job to worry about that. So there's a lot that goes into what the wedding coordinator does and versus what the venue coordinator does. And unfortunately,
brides have expectations for these venue coordinators to be their wedding planners, and that's not the case. And then when something goes wrong at the wedding, they're trying to blame the venue coordinator, and the venue coordinator is like, well, that's not part of my job. That's not what I'm responsible for.
Yeah, the venue coordinators are kind of just focused on anything to deal with the venue.
Right. They don't care. You know, not that they don't care, but, like, that's not their responsibility, and that's not what they're contracted to do. But then they feel bad because the bride's in a crunch and in the wedding day, and they want it to look nice because everything falls back on that venue at the end of the day. So
there really is a big difference between a venue coordinator and actually having a wedding coordinator.
100%, yeah. You know, and everyone's seeing the value in that now, and these venues are really appreciative of the good wedding planners who can come in and just make their lives easy and make sure that these brides are getting them their floor plans ahead of time, the timelines ahead of time, their vendor, you know, it's down to, like, you know, all these venues now require everyone to have a certificate of insurance. So the bride really doesn't have a lot of experience with that or understand what that is, and they'll reach out to me, and I know to get everybody's certificate of insurance and send it to the venue coordinator, you know, when I'm in that month of booking process, and send them, you know, all the information they need. And unfortunately, if there's a vendor that doesn't have it, I've had to go back and tell the bride, like, you can't bring this DJ in. Like, he's Joe Schmo down the street, doesn't have a certificate of insurance.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's not licensed and bonded and cut and bonded and covered. So the venue's like, absolutely not. He cannot come here. So I've had to, unfortunately, tell brides that. But, you know, usually the beginning process, when I see who their vendors are, I can already tell who the red flags are. And give them a little advice on who they, you know, that this might not work. I know this venue, they're very strict of who you can bring in, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, there's a huge difference. And I'm loving the new trend of these venues requiring the brides to bring it in, because, like I always say, you spend, you know what, average weddings, $30,000 to $50,000 now. What is a couple of thousand dollars to make sure that $40,000 or $50,000 that you've invested in budgeted and spent to ensure it all goes off perfectly, you know? And what is that little bit of an investment when you look at the big picture of all the money you're spending on this wedding? It could completely fall apart if you don't have the right wedding coordinator to ensure that it runs smooth, or you're stressed out your whole wedding day and you don't enjoy it.
Yeah, why would you want to have your wedding and have to worry about, oh, is the caterer doing this? Is the photo booth guy here? Is the DJ? Yeah. Or, oh, the DJ's running late. Like,
yeah, and you don't even know, that. You know? And I had we talked to a bride today, and she was like, you know, I wish I would have gotten a wedding coordinator, you know, versus just relying on my venue coordinator. Although her venue coordinator was fantastic, she was like, at the end of the day, the people not involved in the venue, her other vendors, were coming to her throughout the wedding. Did you do this? Did you get that? Do you want to do that? DJs, like, are we doing cake cutting? You know, she's like, why is everybody asking me this? Like, those are the things that the wedding coordinator would just dictate throughout the day of the wedding.
They would know to expect those.
They wouldn't go to the bride for this question. They would come to the coordinator, the wedding.
Point of contact, basically, for all vendors.
Exactly.
And Jesse is, you know, you have to also gel really well with those event coordinators, because you have to respect their space. You have to know their rules, their house rules, their load-ins. And because we've been in the business for 30 years on the first side doing the entertainment, we've been to just every venue, and there's so many new fabulous venues now that aren't just hotels, that it's very exciting to be able to share that with our clients.
Yeah. No, it's cool to see all the different venues that, you know,
there's so many.
We went, and now that every average person has the opportunity to do that. And, you know, another thing too that I find really important, I stress this to all my leads, unfortunately, there are some wedding coordinators out there, being on the vendor side, being on the entertainment side, that they just don't treat everybody very respectfully, or just being nice, and they just boss people around. And
it's a power play.
Yeah, and just being on the other side and seeing how hard our entertainers work and how they've been treated, I try to make it such I just want it to be fun, because if they come in and I've got attitude with a DJ that comes in, like, that's going to change his attitude, and that's going to affect his performance on that wedding. You know, we're all the hired help. We all have the same goal. Nope. I'm just as important as, you know, that guy washing dishes in the back, you know?
Yes, we were hired to help, but we're not the hired help.
Exactly.
Yes. That's a good one, Mike.
Yes, but it's true, you know? And so it's like, if we gotta all gel, we gotta work together, and I wanna make it fun and a pleasant experience for every vendor involved,
because that's going to shine in their performance for the wedding, whether it's the caterer or it's the DJ or it's the photo booth attendant mm-hmm. or it's the, you know, the banquet captain or the bartenders. You know, I make a chance to go around and introduce myself. Do you guys need anything? Do you need some water?
Especially you know. If it's outside. I remember a couple of our entertainers before we really did it, there were some coordinators who were just...
complained to us because the entertainer asked them for a bottle of water when they didn't want to leave their equipment. They're on the beach. It was like, really? Ridiculous. How can you treat somebody like that? Like just be kind.
Be kind. Everybody
just be nice.
Yeah. I mean, I know you just kind of... We were talking about... the new, maybe kind of one of the new trends is hiring. Everyone is kind of required to hire a wedding coordinator. Are there anything, is there anything else that you've seen that's changed in the past few years in regards to planning weddings?
You know, with Pinterest, you know, everything, the one thing that makes me laugh is when the brides show me a Pinterest and they're like, this is what I want it to look like. And I'm like,
I've been working on this for 10 years. Yeah, I've only been engaged for a month.
Exactly.
Like, what was your budget?
Right. That's a $10,000, that just by my experience, I'm like, that's about $8,000 to $10,000 of flowers alone. Do you want to spend half your budget on flowers? And they're just like, they see something, they think they have these grand ideas, but you know, sometimes you kind of have to snap them back to reality and have them realize that, yes, we can create something similar to that, but it's not going to look like that.
Yeah, you know? I think, don't you find that they're really looking more for creating an experience for all their guests?
Yeah. Now? Well, just like, it's not the traditional cake anymore. It's all a dessert display of all kinds of different things for the guests. Or it's
donut not just bar.
It's the donut bar. I have somebody doing a s'mores outside, and it's like, you know, they're doing a whole s'mores bar. Or someone, a bride just a couple of weeks ago, they did different desserts from all the different cities that they have lived in.
Oh, that is cool.
And that was really, it was actually a little plug, nothing but cakes. The owner's niece got married, so they had a bun cake to cut, but then all the other desserts were different. And I thought that was really neat.
Very cool. I went to a wedding not too long ago, and all there was nothing but bun cakes on every table as the centerpiece.
We saw that. That was very cool. Yeah, they're doing the bundt cakes individually for like little guest favors. The favors are very, I always tell people, do an edible favor. To me, the party favors that are edible are the ones that are going to get used and people are going to enjoy that they can take home or at the end of the night have a little sweet treat. But another
cupcakes were good for a while there.
Yeah, people still do like the little mini cupcakes or the mini, you know, the mini donuts are all the different flavor mini donuts are a hit or a cookie bar or cannoli. Somebody do all kinds of different cannolis. But another trend I would say is like they're really trying to put more emphasis in like their entertainment.
Uh-huh.
I see bands coming back. I see people really wanting to book these big bands for their wedding, which that was kind of like a fad long ago and it was always DJs and now we're seeing all these bands or, you know, we've got the band DJ Fusion, which is really cool that Breezin does, which is like the live band aspect with the DJ.
If you guys haven't seen that DJ Fusion band yet, check it out on our website.
Yep. We've got a great package available for that. And I'm pitching it to brides and they're loving it.
Yeah, they are.
It's not as expensive as booking a full, like, you know, 7 to 8 piece band. But it still gives that energy and that experience of having live musicians at your wedding. And brides, you know, using like doing much more contemporary music. So they're not walking down the aisle to your traditional songs anymore. They're picking really cool contemporary songs, but played on classical pieces like a violin or cello. It's that rustic theme is still kind of in the farm tables, and that kind of very rustic is still it's still a trend.
Late night snacks kind of coming in too.
Late night snacks. I actually had a bride book a food truck at the end of the wedding. So literally, we got it parked like right in front of the venue. So literally, guests would walk outside and there was a food truck waiting to take their orders.
Those
and
are my I thought, favorite. I've been to a few weddings with the late night snacks.
Very cool.
I think that's so cool. And a lot of caterers will offer late night snacks in their packages that they can upgrade and add so that, you know, at the end of the night, the last hour of the night, they'll come out with like maybe a slider and French fry bar or something cool like that. So that's been a cool trend. I think creating the experiences are always like just trying to do something different. You know, by the time you get married, you've been to 9 million weddings and you just want to like one up the last wedding you were at or do something different. Or brides just really want to find cool venues too, like not wanting to do your traditional ballroom wedding. either transform the ballroom and put a lot more decor into the ballroom, or completely just find one of those outside venues that isn't your typical hotel ballroom.
Yeah, you've shared with me, too, that they are looking to do a lot of themselves in their wedding, showing their personality.
Yes.
Between the groom and the bride.
Yeah.
And the families, bringing traditions back and whatever it might be, just to make a piece of it them.
We had one bride that her family was Irish, and as a surprise to the Irish family, because she had some family that actually came in from Ireland, Breezen booked Irish dancers.
Very cool.
For them, and they came out... they came out and performed during dinner as a surprise, and it was awesome. And all the family from Ireland was just eating that up, and it was just kind of cool to have a little bit of their heritage, or people do the bagpipes for their ceremonies, or, you know, it was just kind of neat to see.
So many different options.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, it's endless.
It's endless.
Well, yeah, where did we hear that before?
Right? If only all their budgets were endless.
Yeah. Well, what I love about you, though, when she starts is, you know, she sits down for a complimentary consultation. And I think I've heard you many a time sit down and just say, let's be realistic. Let's hear what she'll have the groom speak about what he envisions. And then what the bride envisions.
You don't put them in two separate rooms, interrogate them.
And then try to be realistic on how to help them accomplish both.
Yeah.
Both. What I'm just kind of jumping in because some of the comments I get, because people call me after their experience with Jessie, and that a big thing is they say that she listens, then does more talking. So she's listening to what they really want and trying to create what they want. And you're doing a really beautiful job with that.
Yeah. And, you know, and same thing, I don't want, you know, brides sometimes wonder, like, oh, you know, you work for Breezen Entertainment. Do I have to use your DJ? Mm-hmm. Do I have to, you know, and a lot of them, you know, I work with all, you know, we work with all vendors. So
a lot of brides come to us. Other wedding consultants.
Yeah. So a lot of wedding, you know, a lot of them come to me when they've already got their band booked or they already got their DJ booked. And I'm like, nope, that's no problem. I love that DJ. He's great to work with. Yeah. You know, they don't have to book our entertainment. It's completely separate. It is a plus for me because I know my entertainers, and it's much easier on me because I know and I trust, and they know how I work, and they know how I work, and I know how they work. So, but you know, anyone, they can use any vendor they want. I have a preferred vendor list that I'll suggest that they ask for suggestions, but they are really allowed to, you know, bring in any vendor, including entertainment.
And I also just love when she listens that she thinks out of the box on the different venues. A hotel isn't for everybody, but sometimes the hotel is the best choice for a bride and groom. It's a lot of work to do it on an outside venue. You have to look at a lot of different pieces of the puzzle to make it all work. And so I think I just love to give her kudos because I've really watched her really take this to a whole nother level of her expertise and her experience that she's bringing to the table. And I puts a smile on my face because I get so many calls or compliments when someone runs into me in the South Tampa area, because this is, you know, where our hub is right here, and they just can't say enough. So, you know, yes, you know, we are excited to be in all the venues for them to refer us, but a lot of it's word of mouth now.
Yeah.
You know, from one bride, she'll get several referrals. And
yeah, most of my business so far has been, you know, a combination of you know, the internet and our bridal shows, stuff like that. But a lot of it is
referrals
mm-hmm. from previous clients. And that's the best kind of, you know, that's the kind of best kind of business you want to get it from, is because you know firsthand that, you know, they know someone close to them that had a great experience and they want to, you know, pass that great experience on to their friend or family member.
Yeah, you do a phenomenal job with your Breezen weddings. You are very passionate about it. I know Cindy kind of said you take it to the next level, but there's so many more levels and levels to go for you that it's going to be fun watching you in the next few years take that division to the next level and more. And I know you kind of were talking about your entertainers that we worked here with Breezen. I mean, being the director of events for us, we do over 3,000 events a year. Times nine, which I don't even know where that comes out to be for the past nine and a half years that you've been here now. What does it take to be a director of events? Kind of what does a typical day look like for you in the aspect of the on the event side?
Well, on the event side, you know, my my Monday through Friday job. My day job. You know, the Breeze and Wedding stuff is obviously a lot of weekends and evenings and things like that. But the entertainment side, it's every day is a new challenge. So it's like every day you come in and it's something different. It's never the same thing. Every event is different. You know, it's very detailed because there's so many moving parts. There's a venue coordinator involved or a venue involved. There's the client, sometimes the planner who booked it on behalf of a client. Then you've got the entertainer, whether it's a luau show or a DJ or a casino, you know, night. It's always something different, and the load-in's different, and the time's different, and the program's different. The music selections are different. So it's getting all of those details, you know, what are they wearing? What's their setup need? Do they need a stage? You know, do they need a vendor meal? Where's their break room? Where are they going to change? You know, all these different little things, that nuances that we have to remember to detail so that the event goes off, you know, successfully, and we set the entertainer up for success at the event. I want them to show up, know exactly who their contact is, introduce themselves, set up exactly where I tell them they should set up, be in the right attire that I told them to be in, start on time, end on time, be pleasant, you know, park where they're supposed to park, you know, do all the things that, you know, we try to set them up so that they don't get to an event and like, where am I going? Who am I talking to? You know, they do that sometimes. It drives me crazy because I gave them all of that information. For the most part, we've got amazing entertainment and very reliable talent. And, you know, I feel blessed to know some of the people we've gotten to work with. We have entertainers that have been here way before I was here.
30 years, some of them.
And it's, you know, and they come in the office all the time. But, you know, it's fun. That's fun, having new entertainment come in and finding new entertainment.
We vent them, right, Jess?
Yeah, we had somebody come in today and play the violin, and we get video and we talk to them. So it's just like meeting all the new talent. And Tampa's got so much amazing talent here, and we haven't even tapped into anything.
Yeah,
even a small piece of it.
I think on our side of it here, on the event side, entertainment side of it, we get probably about 10 to 15 new acts a week that are coming in. So it's finding the time to really vent them and meet them. We do a big process on that. The whole team's involved in that. We are hoping to build a studio in our one of our back offices to be able to set up a really nice setting to make it easier for, we don't call them interviews, we call them, once they get to the point, right?
Yes, it's just more like showcasing.
A meet and greet, get to know our team. And
we call it a break. They come in, play for us, we get to
take a little break, 15, 20 minutes off.
Pop champagne.
Yeah, get away from our computer for 5 seconds and away from the phones and just enjoy them and their talent and them playing and
it's because we really can't do the job. We couldn't be in business without
the
talent.
No, we need them.
We're only as good as our acts.
We need to continue to grow the talent and grow, you know, all the new entertainers that are out there.
Them, you know, we've learned and grown, and, you know, I used to, and Jesse made me stop this, have this three strikes and you're out, and we changed that.
Yeah, I have no, like, you mess up on a gig, and I get sometimes things happen and some things are out of our control, but you really mess up or do something that is going to hurt our reputation or hurt, you know, our relationship with a client or a venue, like, I'm done. Like, out. We work too hard, and, you know, especially with what I do, there's no reason they should
not know where they're going.
Or not play the right song for the right, you know, thankfully doesn't happen hardly anymore, but, you know, I don't have any patience for it, and I don't tolerate it, because we all work way too darn hard to set them up for success and for them to...
The client.
You know, and you build that relationship over, I don't know, how many months or years, and one person, one bad apple can completely ruin that relationship at a venue or a client. So I have a zero tolerance policy. If anything happens that I feel like they were in the wrong, they're done. They're off our roster.
We sell to our clients that we want to make their event a breeze. We want our acts as well to be able to be hospitable, be able to talk with the client, not be friends, but be friendly. You know, it's their event. You're performing for them. They hired you to do a job, and you need to be able to do that job with no complaints. And, you know, it's your job. It's just what you need to be able to do.
Be early and be prepared.
That's it. That's all we
just
ask.
Listen. Just read my email.
Email, text. I don't. I got
yeah, email. You just email. Just nobody, read my email. Yeah. Read my text message.
Nobody really
listen to my voicemail. I don't know. I'll fax it to you. I don't know. Whatever you need.
Whatever you need. But it's kind of crazy because when we say we do 3,000 events, and we take this one event, and the client decides she has to change the time and she has to change the room, then that's minimally three additional texts, phone calls, and emails, because yep. That's how she communicates.
She got one to the act, one to the venue, and then one to
and
the
then
client.
We do. Then she does it three ways: the email, the used to be email, yeah. Fax, and text.
And, right,
it just doesn't stop.
Yeah, now it's I email, I text, and then I call and leave a voicemail. Hey, did you read my text? Or hey, did you see my email? Like,
please respond.
Yeah. I can't communicate enough if I tried. So that's as the event director, it's my job to make sure that. I'm the last person to touch that event. So if something goes wrong or somebody goes to the wrong area, it's not most likely my fault. So
yeah.
We try to eliminate that as much as possible. Yeah.
So I like to end our chats with just a little insight for our listeners. Do you have any advice that you would give someone that wanted to start their own wedding planning business or event planning business?
To get into the event business.
I would say just...
Run.
Get your mind checked, girl. No, I think go work underneath. Go intern with someone, an event planner or wedding planner that you'd be interested in working for or with, because I have so many people, interns that have come in and thought they wanted to do this, and then they see...
Or thought they knew what they were doing.
Or, they think it's this glamorous job, and it's such hard work. And those days, it's a 14, 15-hour day on your feet. You're schlepping stuff. You're sweating. You're on the beach and sand and this and that. And, it's not as glamorous. It's not like the J-Lo, the wedding planner movie. It's nothing like that.
I mean, we've talked about this. It's one of the most stressful jobs there is.
It's extremely stressful, extremely rewarding, but it's extremely stressful. And it's not for everyone, but everyone thinks that they can be one. So I would say definitely work under an intern and really get firsthand experience, because that might tell you real quick. Just like I did in my internship with Bainey's Nine. I learned real quick that was not what I wanted to do, because I thought it was totally... in my mind differently than what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And same thing for being an event planner. Yeah. It's really hard, and it's not for everyone, and you have to be a constant problem solver and think very quickly on your feet and not let the stress take you down. So if you can survive busy wedding season with a wedding planner, doing multiple events and handling multiple vendors all at once, and you still enjoy it and love it, then this might be the industry for you. But if not...
Yeah. That's and awesome. That's some great advice as well.
And she's also, she's found a few niches that it's wonderful, because she's she's doing a lot of different ethnic weddings, a lot of Spanish and Latin, and then now it's kind of funny because she's doing a lot of Jewish weddings. And it's funny because I'm the Jewish matzah ball in the office, and they have just taken such a liking to her and referring her, and they love her attention to detail. So
I had to educate myself on the Jewish ceremonies, and I had a rabbi reach out and help me out a little bit.
Yeah, it was fabulous. A little Google search.
Right. No, I had this amazing rabbi that sent me this cheat sheet for weddings, and it was kind of like, Jewish weddings for dummies pamphlet, and it was kind of like my cheat sheet. I studied on it, and I asked a lot of questions, and now I understand the whole, everything that's important, the culture
and
the ceremony.
Traditions.
Yeah,
and there's so many different traditions. The Indian market, is they stick very close to. There's a lot of traditions in that one, and
right.
We really haven't. It's a tough one. They like to work with their cultural,
right?
Because
or people who are familiar with it. Yeah,
really
the Indian weddings scare me. I usually will pass that on to another coordinator or a couple of different coordinators I work with that know the Indian culture. I have not had the opportunity to educate myself enough where I feel like I would do it justice to.
So many different wedding types out there that it's just amazing what you do. It's amazing how you do it
now too.
Yeah,
there's so many blended marriages that they want to incorporate it all.
Right,
so you're trying to put flavors of it all in there.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse, this was fun. I really appreciate you, hopping on this breeze and chats with us and kind of giving us an insight of who you are and what you do and how you got started. You've come a long way in the past 10 years with Breezin, but I mean, since college, I guess, since you graduated, you've come a long way from where you've been. So, I mean, thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with Breezin now. Looking forward to another great 10, 12, 20, 20 whatever plus years together. And, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And like we always say, have a Breezin day.